Hey everyone, welcome back. This is That's a Bad Sign. I'm Emily.
And I'm Liz, and this is a true crime podcast we host most Thursdays.
We're very busy.
Emily was just in Mexico. I'm going to France next week. You know, we're just jet setting away.
Oh, I got promoted at work.
Hey, congratulations. You did not tell me that.
And you got a new job.
I did. I can't believe you chose the episode We're Not Drinking to tell me about the promotion.
I guess I give my recommendation.
Yes.
Have you heard of the show Russian Doll on Netflix?
I think I've heard of it, but I don't really know much about it.
It just came out with season two, and it's the girl with red curly hair from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yep.
And she wakes up every day. I think it's her 36th birthday, and she's reliving the same day over and over, like Groundhog's Day.
Okay.
She lives her birthday, and she dies, and just keeps happening. So it's like, how does she get out of this wormhole, essentially? And it's a comedy, but it's so good, so well written, and they just came out with season two. Highly recommend.
Interesting. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. I like her. I feel like she's a good actress.
Okay, what's yours?
Mine is not a recommendation, but I wanted to get your opinion on it. Have you watched the show Severance?
Severance.
It's newish. People have been talking about it a lot. It's on Apple TV.
Oh, no. I don't have Apple TV anymore.
So Adam Scott is the main character, and Patricia Arquette is also in it, and so is Christopher Walken. Like, there's a great cast.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten such rave reviews. I think like a 93% audience score. The concept I really like, and I've watched like five episodes now, and I'm really trying to get into it. It is just very slow.
What's it about?
So basically, you can choose to have this procedure done that severs your brain. So when you go to work, you only remember your work life. And then when you leave work, like when you punch out at 5 p.m., you don't remember your work life and you only remember your home life.
That's weird.
Yeah. It's a little bit dark and I haven't unloaded all of that yet. So I think that's where it'll get more interesting. But I just know that everyone I've talked to has loved it so far. And I really am trying to like it, but it's just a little slow.
That's a dangerous game that you're playing. Because like if someone's a prison guard and they like treat inmates very terribly and then they don't remember it when they get home.
Yeah, you could also have a wife and then also be having an affair at work. You would have no idea.
That's so true.
So, I mean, the concept is definitely interesting. They definitely make fun of a lot of work stuff, but like in a serious, it's like satirical almost on office life. But there's something a little bit more sinister going on. So I think it'll be really good. I'll keep you guys posted. But I've watched like five episodes. I like the concept. Just waiting for, I guess,
it to pick up.
Something to happen. Yeah.
Actually, can I give one more recommendation?
Of course.
Have you watched Anatomy of a Scandal yet?
No, but I want to.
So good. I finished it in one day. It's Netflix show with Sienna Miller, who is beautiful. And she goes through a very public scandal where her husband, who is high up in British Parliament, cheats on her. And then the woman accuses him of rape. So it shows like the whole court system going through and reviewing the case.
Oh.
What I think is really interesting is that she was engaged to Jude Law and he went through a very public cheating scandal on her as well. So very similar parallels to her real relationship.
That must have been weird for her to act out.
She said she used past experiences to help her understand the role.
I'm sure she did. All right, so if you guys remember, I was supposed to tell this story 2 weeks ago and I forgot my notes. So here I am, excited to tell it. My references include medium.com, ranker.com, allthat'sinteresting.com, and an episode of Snapped. I'm just going to start off with, I apologize if I mispronounce any of these names, but bear with me. So Bic Ha Pan and Han Pan moved from Vietnam to Toronto, Canada in 1979. They came over as political refugees under communist China and were relieved to be able to escape. They eventually got married and settled in Scarborough, which is a district outside of Toronto. They had two children. Jennifer was born in 1986 and Felix was born in 1989. Both parents were able to get jobs at a car manufacturer in Ontario and worked hard so that eventually, in 2004, they were able to afford a house for their family.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, the Pan parents set the bar really high for their children and expected a lot from them. And I mean that in terms of school and extracurriculars, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer was brilliant. She exceeded in school, she played the piano, and she figure skated in her free time. When she got to high school, Jennifer wanted a boyfriend. However, her parents forbade it. They were like, you can't focus on things, anything that's going to distract you from your studies and your extracurriculars. So she realized if she was going to get any male attention, it would have to be during school hours where she was out of sight from her parents. As she focused more and more on boys while she was at school, Jennifer's grades started to slip, but only slightly. Like, I mean, instead of getting straight A's, she would get an occasional B.
Okay, so still better than what I got.
Yeah, exactly. Dummy. No, I'm kidding. So, yeah, most parents wouldn't have even noticed something like this, but in the Pan household, anything short of perfect was just unacceptable. Her parents had allowed Jennifer to stay in touch with her friends via text and email. However, Jennifer started to realize that her decline in grades might result in her parents taking her phone away. So she started forging her grades.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't.
I've definitely turned like an F into an A before.
Did you get away with that?
Yeah.
That's so funny. So as we talked about, the Pans wanted Jennifer to be really successful. They wanted her to get a great job and be highly paid. But Jennifer wanted to be a piano teacher. During her junior year, Jennifer's school offered a trip to Europe to study music. And she begged her parents to let her go. So eventually they said yes.
Aww.
Which is a really cool trip. Our high school definitely didn't offer that. While she was in Europe, Jennifer got her first taste of freedom. And she loved it. She was having a great time until she had an asthma attack in Vienna. When this was happening, she didn't know what was going on and she thought, honestly, that she might die. But then a young man came to her rescue. He was a handsome senior from her school named Daniel Wong, and he helped her remain calm until the asthma attack passed. It turns out that Daniel lived just 20 minutes away from Jennifer back in Canada, but he had a reputation as a local pot dealer and kind of a bad boy.
Ooh.
But for the rest of the school trip, Jennifer and Daniel were inseparable. Once back home in Canada, Jennifer had to keep her relationship with Daniel a secret from her parents, so she started sneaking around with him. That we've both done.
Yeah.
So as we both know, sneaking around can be definitely kind of thrilling. So this only made their attraction to each other stronger. A few months later, Daniel graduated from high school and the couple decided they would both attend college in Toronto after Jennifer graduated the following year. So when Jennifer was eventually accepted into a prestigious Toronto college, Ryerson University, her parents were thrilled, though they didn't know anything about Daniel going there.
He went to the same school?
I don't know if it was the same school or just a nearby one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jennifer made a promise to her parents that she would focus on her studies during the week, and then on the weekends, she would drive the half hour back home to spend time with her family. So she came home every weekend as promised and told her parents stories of her new classes, the friends she was making, and how much she loved college, and her parents were just over the moon about this.
Aw.
But she did leave some details out, like the fact that she was spending every night in an off-campus apartment with her boyfriend Daniel, who they did not know about.
Yeah.
But Jennifer left this out because her parents were funding her school life and her life in general, so she really couldn't afford to piss them off. But one day, Bic, her mom, drove to campus unannounced to check on Jennifer, and she saw her daughter and Daniel kissing. So Jennifer finally had to come clean that she did, in fact, have a boyfriend.
I mean, what can you do at that point as a mother? Like, she's in college.
I know. Also, like, don't sneak up on your daughter at college. Her parents were furious with her, as she expected, and they told her she needed to break things off with Daniel and come home or else they would cut her off financially. So she begrudgingly broke up with Daniel and moved back home. She now had to commute to and from college until she graduated.
That's terrible.
I know. So she would either be at school, at home, or working as a pharmacy technician at a local Walmart. Now, her major was pharmaceuticals, so her parents were like, great, this will help prepare you for a job in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
But Jennifer is now 24 years old in college and living under her parents' eye at every moment.
Why is she 24?
I don't know.
And in college?
I'm not entirely sure where the gap was. On November 8th, 2010, just after 10:30 p.m., emergency operators received an alarming 911 call. The caller was 24-year-old Jennifer Pan. She said there had just been a home invasion at her house where she and her parents were sleeping. She said, quote, I heard shots like pops. I don't know what's happening. She can also be heard saying that she thinks her father went outside for help. She didn't know what happened to her mother and that a masked gunman had tied her to the stairs. And she's absolutely frantic.
Yeah.
Police quickly drove over to the Pan home where they found Jennifer tied up upstairs. But the gunman and her parents were nowhere to be found. They continued to search the house, and when they reached the basement, they found 53-year-old Bic Pan dead on the floor in a pool of blood, shot in the head at point-blank range.
Oh my God, executed.
The father, Han, was still nowhere to be found. Jennifer told police that the intruders had brought her parents to the basement, but then from there, she was brought upstairs and tied to the banister. Then she saw her father emerge from the basement alone and bloody and wounded. And she said she screamed out, "Dad, I'm up here." But he didn't hear her, so he stumbled out of the house.
Oh.
Police searched the neighborhood for Mr. Pan, and they found him next door on the floor of a neighbor's open garage. He had been shot in the face, in the eye, and in the shoulder. But he was somehow still barely alive, and he was rushed to the hospital. And Jennifer was also taken to the hospital for observation.
Did she have any injuries?
Only like superficial, like bruises.
Got it.
Investigators stayed back to continue combing through the crime scene, and they noticed that whoever shot Mrs. Pan had wrapped blankets around her head before shooting, and it looked like they had tried to do the same with Mr. Pan. They did this to muffle the sound and also to ensure that blood didn't spatter everywhere, including on themselves.
Yeah.
So then they start thinking, okay, was this really a random home invasion, or was this something else? Also, if money was the motive, it didn't make sense that there were two luxury cars sitting in the garage that hadn't been stolen. There was also a safe that hadn't been touched. And there was over $200 just sitting in Mrs. Pan's purse that hadn't been taken.
So clearly it's personal.
Exactly. So not a robber who's interested in anything financial. But the only people who could shed any light on what happened that night were Han and Jennifer. So Han went into surgery the day after the attack, but he was then placed into a medically induced coma. Jennifer was cleared at the hospital with no life-threatening injuries, and she was brought to the police station so they could ask her some questions. She told the police that she was in her bedroom talking to one of her friends on the phone when she heard a commotion. When she came out to see what was going on, she saw her parents being held at gunpoint by three armed robbers. She said one of the men pointed a gun at her while the other two were busy demanding money from her parents, saying things like, "Where's the money? Show me where your money is."
Mm-hmm.
She said her dad was confused, saying, "I only have $60, which made them angry, and they started to beat him and pistol whip him.
Oh my God.
Then one of the men tied Jennifer to a banister, and the other two took her parents downstairs. So she's just stranded here, listening to what's going on. And then she hears two pops and her mom scream. She says she screamed out for her, and then she heard two more pops. The masked men then came upstairs from the basement and fled the house. Once they were gone, she pulled her cell phone out of her back pocket of her pants and called 911. Police asked Jennifer for a description of the men, and all she could recall was that one of them had dreadlocks. But then, dun-da-da, Han wakes up from his medically induced coma, and within hours, police are there to take his statement. What he remembers is a blanket being put over his head and then hearing his wife be executed in front of him.
Oh.
Which is like, I don't know, I might just be, like, I'd rather just be dead.
That's so horrible.
Horrible. He was then shot twice and then he fainted. A few minutes later, though, he woke up and he fled to the neighbor's house in search of help. So this does line up with what Jennifer was saying, that she was tied up. She heard the pops. Then she saw her dad run out of the house.
Yeah.
But he says that the masked intruders were talking to Jennifer and being really nice to her and chatting with her as, almost as if they were friends.
Okay, that's, now we know where this is going.
So the police are wondering now if he's just confused about what happened or if Jennifer maybe is hiding something. Han tells police that his daughter has a history of hiding things and that recently he and his wife discovered that she had been lying to them about more than just her boyfriend. Han had been skeptical that his daughter wasn't telling them the truth about how she was spending her days, and he wanted proof that she was reporting to her pharmacist job. So he made her log into her bank account so that he could see the money transfer from Walmart into her account. But guess what? There were no transfers to show.
None at all.
Nope. Then Jennifer admits that she had never even applied for the job at Walmart. And on top of that, she didn't go to Ryerson University. She had never been to a class there and had never even enrolled.
So she didn't get in at all.
I don't even think she applied. She faked her acceptance letter. Like, literally the movie Accepted.
Is she a psychopath? That's insane.
I would have so much anxiety trying to keep up with this lie.
So she was just accepting her parents' tuition payments?
Mm-hmm.
You would think that she would want to go to college to get away.
Yeah, but I'm actually not done. Turns out Jennifer couldn't even apply to college because she never really graduated from high school.
Holy shit.
She was one credit short, and she had paid $500 for a fake diploma.
Oh no, this girl was crazy.
So once they figured this out, her parents were obviously furious and disappointed, but they gave her one final chance. They said they would pay for her to finish school and they would watch her every move. So finish high school.
That's not like a bad deal.
What else? First of all, what else are you going to do?
Right?
You don't have any degrees. Her parents said there would also be none of Daniel. Han told his daughter if she wanted to see him, she would have to wait until Han was dead.
Or just move out and stop taking their money.
Well, yeah, like go be a piano teacher then.
Yeah, right?
But Jennifer accepted the offer and enrolled in college for real. And Mr. Pan said he finally felt like he was getting his family back. All right, so now officers are interested in speaking with Daniel Wong, the boyfriend, so they bring him in for questioning. He tells them that his relationship with Jennifer's parents was complicated. They never liked him, which we know.
Yeah.
He also tells them that his relationship with Jennifer had ended. He says, her parents didn't want us to see each other, and we respected that.
Sure.
Right. Daniel also says that there's no way he could have had anything to do with the attack because he was at work that day at the pizza shop. They checked it out, and his alibi worked, so the police let him go. So now they're back at square one with three unknown suspects. All they knew was that Mr. Pan had seen Jennifer whispering softly to one of them as if she knew them. So the police brought Jennifer in for questioning again and told her, guess what? Now you're a suspect. It didn't take much and she just broke down. And she said she didn't know the gunman, but she had hired them.
What?
But, she said, she didn't hire them to kill her parents. She had hired them to kill her.
That makes no sense.
She breaks down crying at this point and says she was depressed after getting in trouble with her parents. She felt like a failure and she just wanted somebody to kill her. She felt like she would never live up to her parents' standards, and that was that. Which is sad, if true.
Yeah, it's like, why would they all of a sudden kill your parents and not you?
Oh, on top of the emotion she felt about disappointing her parents, she also found out that Daniel had moved on and had a new girlfriend. And without him, she just felt like life wasn't worth living.
Oh, God.
So she wanted to die, but she said she didn't want to bring shame on the family by committing suicide. So she found someone through a friend who could arrange a hit on herself.
Who are these friends?
His name was quote-unquote homeboy, and she agreed to pay him $2,000 for him to find people to kill her. On the night of the 8th, she had second thoughts, so she called this homeboy to cancel the job, but the people showed up anyway. And they screamed, where's the money? We want the money. So she's like, they wanted the money that I owed them for the hit on myself. And she says she handed them $2,000. But then they demanded more money. She said they wanted $10,000, but Jennifer didn't have that. So this angered them, and they shot her parents, and then they fled the house.
Am I gullible, or is this kind of a likely story?
It's certainly playing into the I'm a victim kind of feel bad for me.
I mean, this girl is quick on her feet to come up with this.
Yeah. So here are the questions we have right now. Who is homeboy? Jennifer said that she only knew his nickname and that she contacted him using a number that had the number sequence 856 in it. Police scanned through phone numbers and actually ended up coming across this man named Leonard Crawford, who was a mechanic and a small-time drug dealer. They brought him in for an interview and he said, yeah, I know Jennifer through a friend. That friend, Daniel Wong. As police asked him about the hits, etc., he claims he has no knowledge of this at all. Jennifer had never contacted him about getting a hit on anyone, so what was the connection here? Then investigators went through the phone records of Leonard, Daniel, and Jennifer. And they soon realized, one, that Jennifer and Daniel were still very much romantically involved. So,
yeah,
she's lying about that. Police also found cryptic messages between the three and two other men talking in a lot of street slang. But basically, Jennifer and Daniel were saying they would pay $5,000 per hit for two people to be taken out.
Okay, so also this mechanic was involved.
Yes.
Everyone's lying.
I know, because at first I was like, oh, this poor guy.
No, he's a part of it.
So police arrested Jennifer, Daniel, and Lenford, in addition to Eric Party and David Malvingham? Not sure.
Sure.
All on the same charges of first-degree murder of Bic Pan and attempted murder of Han Pan. On March 18th, 2014, the proceedings began. And what was Jennifer's motive? Wanting to be able to date her boyfriend and getting her inheritance so that she could live comfortably with that boyfriend, because she'd be getting $500,000.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer and the rest of the group were found guilty and sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Bye.
Adios, you sickos.
I have so many questions.
Let's hear them.
Well, one, I kind of remember this story, and I felt like I read that Daniel, that's the boyfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did, in fact, leave her for another girl, and then Jennifer made up stories that the girl was stalking her and harassing her.
I don't remember that specifically, but I'm sure you're probably right, given this girl's mindset.
So she's always been off her rocker.
Yeah.
Did she have any siblings?
She did have the one brother who isn't mentioned here, and I honestly just feel horrible for him. I hope that he and the dad have a close relationship.
Oh, I forgot the dad was still alive. So did the dad fully recover?
I'm sure he's still dealing with some of those injuries, but yeah, he recovered.
Has he come out with any statement?
Not that I could find. I mean, I'm sure he's just, I don't even know. I don't even know what you feel at that point. Your wife is dead and it's your daughter's fault.
This makes me not want to have children.
It is certainly terrifying.
Well, as for my story, I didn't do one since I did one last time. So you did one this time. And then next week, we'll be back to our regular cadence.
We'll do two stories next week. Promise.
So I guess we just end there.
Yeah.
As always, please write us a review. I think it's Spotify, Podcast Addict, and Apple Podcasts. You can rate us and review us.
On top of that, if we could just get a quick follow on the old Instagram, that'd be great. And go tell your friends, because this is, I think, it's a pretty fun podcast.
I think so, too.